Hi, everyone. This is Aaron Larson, executive editor of Power Magazine, and you're listening to the Power Podcast. On today's episode, I'm joined by Jamie McDonald Murray. He is the chairman of Lazarb Energy. So, Jamie, thank you for joining me, and please tell a little bit about your company and what you do.
That's great. Thanks very much for the invite to take part in the podcast. So Lazarb Energy is a UK company that owns its Brazilian subsidiaries. We're a developer of solar energy parks for both the distributed energy and utility scale markets. We have a really solid pipeline of corporate PPAs that are signed and in operation and in construction. And in total, we have over 3 gigawatts of solar parks in development in Brazil. So we've really grown through the last 18 months, and we're looking forward to expanding more in the Brazilian market.
One question that immediately comes to mind is why did you focus on Brazil?
I had the pleasure of living in Brazil for 15 years. While I was there, I worked both in the tourism industry and then went into construction and real estate development. And really, you know, it came to a kind of natural end during kind of 2015-16. The property market had got hard again, and everyone had built too much. And myself and business partner and co-founder of Lazarb, Gustavo Savelli, we looked at what we were going to do next, and we looked at different areas. We were looking at the waste to energy model, and we were quite close to actually launching into waste to energy, but luckily decided to go into solar. So we started from zero. You know, we really knew. We knew it was sunny, and we knew there was lots of land, and we knew there was a need for energy, for new green energy. And we wanted to build a business that was going to help drive down emissions and try to, you know, create a company with values, you know, not just for profit, but a company that, you know, reinvests in the areas where we build the grids, where we build the power plants, to help those local communities as well. That's an important, you know, pillar of why we set Lazarb up.
So can you talk a little bit about the power grid in Brazil and how it differs, for example, from the U.S. grid or European grids? Are they seeing a similar transition, you know, with a lot more wind and solar coming online, or what do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, the grid operators now in Brazil, the grid is obviously privatized. So you have several operators that operate in different states in Brazil. They're having a hard time. They inherited a grid infrastructure and situation with the infrastructure that wasn't great. You know, it needs a lot of investment, and they're trying to modernize the grid. And also, obviously, they have to expand the capacity of the grid because obviously the consumption is growing year on year. So the grid operators, on the whole, you know, we have obviously close relationships with many of them. On the whole, they're doing a great job, but it's hard, and they're having to pass the cost and investment they have to make to make the improvements onto the consumers. So this is one of the reasons why we, as a developer and an independent power producer, have the opportunity to close the contracts, the PPA contracts, with our corporate customers, because obviously at the moment we can reduce their energy cost, mainly because we don't have to contribute to the grid costs when we're talking about distributed energy. So that's one of the reasons that's driving the private PPA market, distributed energy market in Brazil. And, you know, we're expecting some legislation to be passed in 2022 that will bring a degree of contribution to the cost of the grid upkeep and maintenance onto corporate PPAs, distributed energy.
Are there other challenges that are faced in Brazil? I know when I think of Brazil, I think of hydropower, because I think that's probably their biggest source of electricity. Does that pose any challenges when you're adding distributed energy to the system?
Yeah, I mean, you know, naturally, hydropower has been for decades, you know, since the 50s and 60s, Brazil's largest source of energy. And, you know, although, you know, on the whole, hydropower is green, you know, obviously we've got to take into account that, you know, that they've obviously flooded large areas to create these hydro dams. But on the whole, it's green. But unfortunately, you know, because of continued droughts, worsening droughts that Brazil is suffering. The capacity that hydropower has is diminishing. Just last week, you know, there are reports of potentially starting to ration energy because of the droughts that they're suffering. And also, obviously, lots of the hydro dams are a long way from where the population down in the, particularly down in the southeast of Brazil and the industrial heartlands are. So we see, you know, solar and also, you know, wind, onshore and offshore wind, it will become the largest form of power for Brazil. Solar is predicted to be the largest single source by 2050. With also wind providing a good portion of it, because it's, we can implement and roll out, you know, particularly solar very quickly. So that's, it really is it's a very interesting market, and things are only starting really. You know, we need to crack on with what we're doing. And, there's a huge amount of investment that needs to go into Brazil to make it happen.
How do the prices of electricity compare, for instance, in Brazil to other parts of the world, and how do they fluctuate through the course of maybe the year, or is it a market where it's a competitive market where it's always varying based on supply and demand?
You know, the price of energy in Brazil only goes one way, and that's up, and that's really driven by, you know, it's driven by inflation. But largely, it's also driven by the fact that the grid operators are having to reinvest in the infrastructure. They're having to renew the grids. They're having to add capacity and modernize the grid. And that cost they're passing on to the consumer. So that's not great when you look at average household bill. They're paying a disproportionate amount of their monthly income in energy. It's expensive. So I think In dollar terms, we're talking around like 20 cents per kilowatt hour for energy, which is up there. You know, it's expensive. So obviously that gives, you know, Lizarb as a business one of the key incentives for our corporate clients to come to us and to agree a power purchase agreement over, you know, 15, 20 years, as well as the ESG and the drive to be net carbon and zero carbon, which is obviously high up the corporate agenda now across the world and in Brazil.
I know you mentioned inflation, and I was in Brazil back in 1990 when I was in the Navy, and I know it was a very serious problem at the time where they told us don't even exchange your money until the day you're going to use it, because it'll probably be worthless, you know, within a week. Is the country in a better economic position today, or are those still problems that residents face with inflation?
It's definitely a lot better than in the 1990s. You know, it's not as rampant as then. But, you know, if we take the last 18 months as an example, the real's devalued by 35, even 40%. So that's, you know, it's not great. And really, that's one of our main challenges as a business is the currency. When we're talking with our equity partners, you really have to take a long-term view when you're talking about Brazil. Inflation is still an issue, but it's, you know, they are more sensitive about trying to control inflation, and they've put economic policies in place, and they've been doing that in the last couple of months to try and control inflation, certainly better than the 90s.
And, you know, your focus is on solar development, and I know that you're one of the fastest growing solar developers in Brazil. Do you find it to be a pretty easy sell to get these PPAs signed? Are people pretty interested and see the value in it?
We obviously put a lot of work in since, you know, 2018. We've been focusing on obtaining and building up the relationships, and then obtaining relationships with you know, large Brazilian corporates and also multinational corporates that operate in Brazil. And we've been very successful. So we now have, you know, over 200 megawatts of PPA signed with some of Brazil's largest companies. And we have another 700 megawatts in various stages of negotiation that I think we'll close out 2021 with just over 1 gigawatt of corporate PPAs signed. So we're in a very happy and positive position in terms of our off-takers. I think it's driven really by the fact that the legislation is going to change next year, and therefore the price that we can offer won't be as attractive, because obviously if we're going to have to start contributing to distribution costs, then obviously we're not going to be able to offer such a competitive price to our off-takers. But I think really yes, it's driven by price, because they can secure a good price, but it's also driven by the fact that these corporations have got targets to become net carbon zero, and the, you know, ESG is really up there on the corporate ladder, because consumers are putting it there. You know, these brands know that their consumers want them to use green energy.
Yeah, I think companies around the world are seeing that trend continue. So, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think, you know, the more ecologically friendly companies are, the better for the whole world. How does a typical project work for you? I mean, do you typically go in and talk to the company and get them on board with the idea? And then do you handle it kind of as a turnkey solution, where you do the install, you do all of the sourcing of materials and basically operate the system for them? Or what's your typical game plan there?
Yeah, we provide complete turnkey solutions. So we're now at a size where we're continually sourcing new blocks of land and new locations for parks across Brazil. We currently have sites in 11 different states. So we cover most of Brazil. We have a team in the office now in Rio of just over 20 people, engineers and experts, who are obviously securing grid permits and connection permits in different states. And then obviously we have an environmental licensing team that take the projects through that process of obtaining the licenses that are required. And then we work with various different EPC companies on an international basis to provide a turnkey solution for our corporates.
How many people are with Lysarb Energy? I mean, do you have a pretty large staff, or do you do a lot of outsourcing to some of these other EPCs?
We're a team of just over 20 in Brazil, and then our EPC work is outsourced to Brazilian companies who obviously have a long track records of delivering sites across Brazil. Mm-hmm. So in terms of our modules, you know, we're working with Canadian Solar, with Ryzen, with JA Solar. So we're working with the largest names in solar, who are obviously all in the Brazilian market already.
And do most of these sites get built on like a green field, or do you put a lot on rooftops of warehouses and things like that, or what's a typical arrangement?
The majority of our sites are our kind of smallest site is 2.5 megawatts. So it's a ground mount site. We do have some rooftop in development currently, but we're predominantly focused on larger ground mount sites. So we have clusters of sites in different states. That I wouldn't say it's greenfield. I'd say it's more kind of barren field, because you know most of the land that we go for obviously for solar is land that isn't productive agriculturally. And obviously, Brazil has you know vast amounts of space and land, which is ideal for solar. You know, it's not used for other agricultural purposes. So it's ideal for us for solar.
Are you connecting these basically to the grid more so than to a specific factory, for example, where the power is going to the grid and the cost or benefits of it are then just kind of passed on through the PPA? Is that how it works?
Yeah, the majority are all grid connected, and then obviously metered and balanced off through the PPA agreements. Mm-hmm. We do have one project in kind of final throes of development that will actually provide 250 megawatts of energy to a mining company, and that one's actually a direct connection. So we're actually on site at the mine. That's where that plant will be installed. So that one's slightly different. We're also looking there. We're working with a partner to provide a battery system to obviously increase the usability of the energy that's generated.
Do you see the prices coming down on your PPAs, or is it a reflection of the market where, you know, because the market is constantly increasing, you're able to charge more, even though maybe the prices of the solar components are coming down? How do you see it looking going forward?
Pricing in PPAs of kind of 20 or 30 or 40 megawatts is pretty consistent, and we're maintaining a very good level. We're achieving a good price. Our larger PPAs that are with, you know, industrial off-takers or mining groups obviously are much higher volumes of energy for longer periods. So instead of 15, they're 20, even 25 years. And obviously, so those PPAs are lower. What it gives the corporates is it's certainty over their energy supply and their energy price. And so that's really, you know, apart from obviously it being green energy, that's where the driver is for them.
Well, you've answered most of my questions. Is there anything else that you feel is important to touch on before we wrap up the show?
I think, you know, from our side, we're, you know, obviously very happy that there's such a positive uptake from corporates in Brazil to purchase green energy. I think it's really important, and I think it's driven by the consumer, which is great. It just shows that actually, you know, consumers do wield a lot of power against very large multinational corporations.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Jamie. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and learning more about the energy situation in Brazil and what Lysarb Energy is doing. So thank you.
That's great. Thanks very much, Aaron.